It's Friday, August 28th, 2015, and welcome to episode 180 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Cindy Rich.
That's right. We've got Cindy back with us. Welcome back, Cindy. We missed you.
Oh, I missed you, too. New school year, new exciting new episodes. It's going to be fun.
Yep. Back to school this week, so we're just off our first week of school, so we'll be sharing some of those things that's happened this first week, and we've got a big show for you today. We've got several topics that we're going to talk about. You're teaching a new class, so you're going to share an icebreaker activity.
Yeah.
And give just a little bit of a hint.
Well, you know, hashtag most awkward thing I ever said to my teacher.
Okay. Hashtag this. So we'll explain that here just a little bit. We're also, I also attended an ed camp down in Southern Illinois, Ed Camp West Frankfort. So we'll talk just a little bit about that. It's a new unconference. So we've experienced that. It's the first one I've attended in the area. They've been around for a number of years. And then also we'll be sharing our technology picks of the week. And then I've also started another blog series since we're back to school.
Yeah.
Called Pedagogy 365, where I'll be sharing some of the teaching and learning aspects of Office 365 and how to incorporate it into your teaching and learning, both as a teacher and as a student. And I'm calling it Pedagogy 365 because the pedagogy should always come first.
Absolutely.
So we've got a big show for you, so sit back and here we go. Classes here at EIU, so we're back to school.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of new students coming in. Everything's exciting and getting a fresh start to another school year. So as usual, when we typically come back to school, there's a lot of preparation work that's been done on the front end. So we certainly want to thank all of the, you know, the custodial staff and everything for getting all the rooms nice and clean and orderly and ready. And then all the tech support and adding new wireless infrastructure and constantly revamping our network. So there's a lot of behind the scenes things going on this first week.
There is. Those of us who are here working all summer and that, it's like, you know, you're doing all the things you have to do during the summer. So it's kind of exciting when the students come back and they're all like optimistic and enthusiastic. And it just, the energy level on campus changes completely when they start walking through the doors.
Yep, it's that fun time of year. So we've already been through this first week. It's Friday here. So the first 3 or 4 days, I always go the week before. I go to every classroom, turn everything on, turn the projector on, make sure the sound's working. So I've done all that preliminary work. First day of class, do the same thing, come in early in the morning. And, you know, found 2 or 3, you know, minor problems, but those were all corrected before the students even walked in the door.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, people need to just be in the habit of doing those things and knowing how to check those basic things, because sometimes you go into a classroom where you taught in yesterday, somebody taught in that classroom after you when it's not your own room.
Right. It might be a little bit different than, you know, K-12. A lot of teachers have their own room the whole, you know, the whole day.
Yeah. But at the university level, we get where somebody else uses it. They may tweak some settings or do something differently. And so just to know those basic things that you can control and you should, or sometimes, you know, 2 hours before the class, you change rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to adapt to that.
Yeah. And we've, of course, we've got new faculty and things. So we're getting everyone up to speed. I've got new student workers in the ITC. So, you know, kind of have a new crop to get up to speed with everything. So I do have a lot of online resources, and I recommend that my student workers go through that series of technology enhanced classroom videos. And I also recommend our new faculty do that. And for that matter, if you have any questions, you know, for somebody that's been here, I'm sure they'll pick up some hints and tips and just some basic, you know, just some basic things. And it's not just all troubleshooting. It's also awareness of the capabilities that our technology enhanced classrooms can do today, which, you know, is a lot. We're also using Office 365. I've started a new blog series that I'm calling Pedagogy 365. But I want to really focus on the teaching and learning piece first before all the technology. So I'll put a link in the show notes to that. And guess what application I'm starting with?
It couldn't have anything to do with notebooks, could it?
OneNote. That's
just
right.
Just a hunch.
I knew you would pick that one up. So I'm going to get you converted one of these days.
I know. I'm not a non-believer. I see, you know, and actually you and I just talked about this a little bit. Sometimes I feel like I have things I haven't mastered yet. I need to master some of those before I start something else new.
And kind of my philosophy in going through is every school year I'll pick something different to push myself forward to learn something new.
Sure.
And that's the only way that we make progress. If we're not out there looking for something new and different, not just doing, you know, the same old thing a different way.
Right.
I really think that we need, as teachers, that we need to push ourselves to use some of these new technologies, these cloud technologies, these collaboration tools. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is really happening. I'm really starting to see that here with the students in the ITC. You know, we do a lot of this flipped classroom type stuff where I have the videos out there online. Mm-hmm. And they'll go watch a series on the smart board. And then they'll come and start asking questions about it because we've taken care of the nuts and bolts of, you know,
right,
click here, click there. And they're really interested. Hey, I have this lesson plan. You know, how do I really incorporate this and get some interaction and engagement things with the students? So they're beyond that mechanical piece of it.
Yeah.
So that's why I started the Pedagogy 365. And I don't know how long this OneNote series is going to go on, because I just have a number of things I would like to share. And it doesn't necessarily have to be OneNote. It could be an Evernote or, you know, it could be Google Docs or something for that type of reason. OneNote just has a very specific appeal because it's the analogy of the three-ring binder, which every student and faculty member can relate to. And, you know, putting that online in a digital format, having the access, you know, to thousands of pages of your notebooks from your smartphone, that's a different world.
It is. It is. It really is. And, yeah, it's funny because I think about professionally, I always say I have more breadth than depth because I know a lot of different things. I wouldn't call myself necessarily an expert in one thing that I've devoted. You know, I mean, there are a couple of things I'm really strong in. But as far as how some people devote everything to one topic, one theme or whatever.
But we've both been through that. We're both PhDs. So we've taken that plunge and went, you know, head deep into a specific topic. And that's great. You know, you are an expert in that field, in that particular area. But as I say, we also have to keep, particularly, you know, as a teacher education college, you know, with our students, we have to take that bigger picture out there as well. So be sharing a lot with that. And then you're also teaching a couple, are they face-to-face classes?
They are.
So you've had your first class already
It was a great class. It's for secondary ed pre-service teachers. And they're from diverse content areas. And so it's talking about literacy assessment and differentiation in their classrooms. So it's different than their typical methods class because we're not specifically talking about their content area, but we're talking about the learning and teaching activities that need to happen in every classroom to make learners successful. So that was really fun. And so, and I did want to share, you know, the first class, you try to come up with something different to do, to introduce. And when they're in their methods courses and they're all in the same content, they know each other well. This one, we're mixing it up, so they don't really know each other. Mm-hmm. I don't know any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came in, and I was trying to think of a neat icebreaker or way to do introductions instead of the same old, same old. And so I was watching Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon, and he does these hashtag little bits that he does, and he puts them out, and they're within 20 minutes are trending worldwide. And it's so cool, the responses, and they're always funnier than heck. And so one of the things they had to do, the students had to introduce themselves to a new friend in the class or someone, and then I assigned them some hashtags that they had to choose one of those and then make a statement to go with that hashtag. And so it was things like you know, hashtag awkward thing I said to my teacher, or hashtag school clothes, hashtag my awesome book bag, things like that, hashtag the day my mom embarrassed me at school, or my dad. And so they each picked, you know, something that appealed to them and then shared a memory from, you know, that connected with it. And it was a lot of fun.
Jimmy Fallon, you said?
Yes.
I didn't know Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel. But I went online. I had seen clips of it. And I'm going to play just a little bit here just to kind of give the audience of, you know, kind of the meme where this was coming from. Hopefully we won't get pulled off the air. We'll just do just a few seconds of this. But let's take a listen to this and see. I think this is what you were talking about.
Hashtag, is it Friday yet?
Hey, check it out. I brought you some cookies. Hashtag homemade. Hashtag oatmeal raisin. Hashtag show me the cookie.
Sweet. Hashtag don't mind if I don't. Pretty good. Hashtag getting my cookie on. Hashtag I'm the real cookie monster.
I'll stop it there, but that.
That was right. It was along those lines. And then what he does almost every week is he puts a unique one out and people from all over the world send them in.
Mm-hmm.
And he reads different people's on the air too. And it's just funny. It's lighthearted. And lets everybody share something a little personal.
The English teacher in you probably hates this. But I find myself even in my blog post writing like a hashtag or something.
Oh.
You know? Or like, you know, of course on Twitter and Facebook, that's kind of where it started.
Right.
You know, hashtag EdTech or something.
Right.
But those are extremely valuable whenever you're going through. I have mail. those are extremely valuable whenever you're going through and, you know, doing searches or something out there.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this summer, in May, I had a little article posted on the International Literacy Association website about hashtags. And it was just how when we're working with students to identify main ideas or intended audience or author bias or author purpose, you know, hashtags are great examples for doing that. So the English teacher and me, while there's, you know, the mechanics, I cringe a little, but the conceptual approach to hashtags, I love it because it supports. You have to know if you're writing a hashtag, there's a specific reason you're choosing that hashtag. You're either aligning with someone who has similar beliefs or you're going to oppose someone.
Mm-hmm.
Who has that belief. And so they really do have educational benefits.
Mm-hmm. So everybody, all the students in your class immediately picked up on that, right?
Oh, But I also learned, I put, one of the things was my school wardrobe malfunction and my worst something. I don't know. Anyway, but I assigned emotional value to it. I'm taking that off because it's like, okay, when I say my best or my worst or something like that, then there's pressure for them to feel like they have to really. So I've learned to kind of, you know.
Or give them a choice of two or three and you can pick, you know, one of the three or whatever.
Yeah. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I'm sure people out in the audience will be able to use that in the future. It's an excellent icebreaker activity. You and I, a lot of catching up to do. Last time we missed you on the last show, so we invited Josh in.
Yeah.
And I don't know, have you met Josh?
I've not.
Well, we've got an open invitation to him. Josh is our security officer here at EIU, and we talked a little bit about back to school phishing attempts and things. And I don't know about you, but I've received a number of them in my email box, you know, when I get those reported to me. You know, be aware with email where people try sending you, you know, forms and things for you to fill out, and they're trying to get you to trick you into getting passwords or clicking a link to malware.
Your mailbox is full.
And, or, you know, the very typical one is they try to spoof your information technology services department, and they'll even say that, you know, they're EIU tech support. Mm-hmm. Click here. It's urgent. You must do this. So that's part of the education that we like to do here with Tech Talk for Teachers. You know, just avoid all of those. And if it's suspicious, you know, I'm sure you probably have some way of reporting that to your particular IT department.
Right. And I got back and had to change my password because I was
standard
time.
Yep. And same thing with students. So there's a lot of that back to school gear up. And in K-12, they're facing the same thing. You know, they have student information systems and the students and, you know, rolling classes over to the next semester, going to different schools. So they have all those user management issues as well.
Absolutely.
And then the other thing, just kind of catch up because it's been a while since you and I've talked. A couple weeks ago, I went to my first Ed Camp. Ed Camp has been around for about 5 years, but it's kind of this underground movement that's, I mean, it's really become mainstream at this point. But the idea behind it is it's an unconference. That's how it's billed. Okay. And by unconference, they mean you go to this, you show up, and this was a Saturday. So it's all volunteer, you know, and we had about 100 teachers from, you know, there was a Southern Illinois area down at West Frankfort.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So we went down there. You just register in advance, show up that day. There is no agenda. So you have 100 teachers in the room, and kind of have a moderator. Dr. Goins, the superintendent down at West Frankfort, was kind of the leader and organizer of this. And you just basically walk in the room, you know, had some donuts and coffee, and say, okay, here's a board. What do you want to learn about today? And everybody gets a post-it note, and they start, you know, start tossing around ideas. Does not have to be about technology. You know, a lot of times it is, like one of them was using social media, you know, Twitter or whatever. A lot of times it is technology related, but it could be anything from, you know, best science lab lessons or something like that. Depends upon, you know, it's a totally ad hoc group.
So everybody's in one big room, or are you split into?
Which I think we had like six different classrooms. So about 100 teachers and kind of just for planning purposes, you figure about 25 in a room. And you vote with your feet. I mean, it's an unconference. So if you go to a session and it's not holding your interest or anything, there's no pressure, and this is all stated up front. Feel free to get up and go to a different session that may be of more interest, you know, if you get into something. There is no leader or anything. It's just, you know, you just get to the room, and each room and each activity is a little bit different. You might break up into small groups and have three or four smaller conversation, or there might, you know, some of them we made a little circle and just kind of went around and introduced ourselves and shared some of the things that
were. So is there like a moderator in each room?
Not really a quote unquote moderator. It's all ad hoc in unconference. Now, naturally, there's a few, and it's interesting watching the progression, because, you know, in this particular case, I didn't know a lot of the teachers, and of course they didn't know me, so we don't really know what we each do, you know. So it was an interesting dynamic, because a lot of times it's like, oh, you know, I've got a question about this, and you know, like you go straight to that person. So it was really interesting to kind of just stay back a little bit. It was very, very successful.
You know, a lot of the research right now on professional development for teachers is focusing on the need and the desire and the benefits of collaboration. That there's just the teachers don't have time for collaboration, and they get more value from that.
Well, and this is true for any conference, you know, those conversations we have in the hallway or breaking out, you know, usually to me are the most valuable.
Right.
Or whenever we go to like a faculty meeting or something, you know, we have that. And then you break out into the different groups,
right?
You know, and that's, to me, is where the value. But the whole vibe of the conference being an unconference, you didn't have that structure. So it was a much more relaxed, much more targeted, I guess, to your particular interest. And the other great thing was, it's like, okay, we're not all, you know, from 3:30 to 4, we're going to talk about X subject.
Right.
It's like, nope. This is your conference. You do what you like. So that was very successful. I think I probably became first aware of that through Twitter. Hashtag EdCampWF. That was hashtag for the EdCamp West Frankfort.
Very cool.
So that's the other value. Just tying into your hashtag conversation is, if you do a search on Twitter for that, you will find several people that attended that camp. So that collaboration piece. And, you know, we're talking a little bit earlier, it's how do we take advantage of all these educational technology tools? And I just see multitudes of uses and possibilities for the collaboration. I mean, even OneNote, that's a collaboration tool. But you don't think of note-taking as being collaborative. Yet we have the tools to make it collaborative. It's a whole different mindset. It's a lot of that, as you say, the professional development, and a lot of that, to me, the very valuable piece of Twitter is for professional development, because you can follow, you know, fellow teachers and find the teachers that are expert in whatever area and, you know, just establish that rapport. And that's an asynchronous conversation. You know, we're not in the same room, same time or anything. So that network for me is expanded across the world. So
very cool.
So we're here, you know, today. There, I don't see the limitations at all. The limitations are on us and our time. And, you know, separating personal from professional life, and, you know, having some space, because it's just invaded all aspects of our of our being with smartphones and like just that email just going off, you know, it's with us 24/7.
Right.
So we have to learn how to control or manage that in some ways. So that was going on. I did. I also, another thing that you and I need to catch up on, you know, beginning of spring, I think I said back in May that I was going to take on this maker project.
Yeah.
And I did end up and get that X-Carve CNC machine.
Yes, you did. You've been productive as heck with that.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a learning curve. It was quite a challenge to get it together. It came in like a million pieces. And whenever I had it spread all over my shop, it's like, what did I get myself into? But I have, you know, speaking of collaboration and sharing and those experiences, that's another group that probably most people wouldn't think would be quote-unquote high-tech. But there's a very active community of woodworkers on YouTube and Twitter and things. And it's been interesting, and it's one reason I wanted to do this project, to see how a new tool like CNC, and let me back up a minute, that's computer numeric control. So you basically, it's like you mount your router, which is a spinning bit, mm-hmm. and you control it with your computer through X, Y, and Z coordinates. Perfect math science lesson, you know, right?
Oh,
there.
Oh, yeah.
It's also perfect, and I decided to go this route instead of 3D printing. 3D printing is very hot right now.
Absolutely.
A lot of people are getting 3D printers for their quote-unquote maker spaces. But the same aspects apply to CNC machines, except instead of using plastic to build up, in this case, I use wood. It's a subtractive process. You carve away instead of plastic, you build up. But the same XYZ coordinates and all of that apply. I mean, the base knowledge is there, is there for both. But I did make, as kind of a housewarming gift or a camp-warming gift, I gave Dr. Goins a sign that I made that said, "Ed Camp WF." I'd carved off on a piece of oak.
Very cool.
And then colored it in. So I'll provide a link to another new service that I learned about that just came online. docs.com. I'll provide a link in the show notes, but it allows you to post your sways and PowerPoints and Word and Excel documents mm-hmm. publicly. So it's another way to present your material publicly, in this case documents. That's why it's called docs.com. But very attractive. It preserves all your formatting, your PowerPoint, your animations, and everything. So if you have something that you want to post out there, very easy to do, just one click, upload, you're done. Doesn't require user ID and password because it's public. So if you're looking for something, you might want to use a learning management system or something, you know, for course material.
Right.
But for something that, you know, you don't mind sharing with the world, it's very, very easy to do. It looks very attractive. And the last thing I guess I'll mention is the Sway, this mm-hmm. new presentation application, that just became available. So if you're EIU user of Office 365 or at another school and use Office 365, mm-hmm. Sway is now part of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, and Sway. That's the first new application they've like released like in 10 or 20 years.
Is that still called a suite? Like, remember suite, we used to have the Office suite?
It was the Office suite. So Sway is now a member of that suite.
Okay.
And if you've not used Sway, I think I've had that as one of my former...
You did.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag TPOW, Tech Pick of the Week.
T-Pow.
Yeah. That's what I do. I use Digo bookmarks, you know, and keywords mm-hmm. is one of those things. So there you go. So that's a little bit about... what's been going on. It's been a while, like I said, since you and I have been back together. So
it is.
Good
I
to
know.
Catch up.
Summer flew by.
Yes, it did. So I'm sure you're having, you know, similar back to school happenings and things. It's a very exciting time of year. So let's go out there. Let's use this technology to improve the teaching and learning of all of our students. A brand new app that just came out yesterday for Windows, and it's called Snip, S-N-I-P. This basically is a new snipping app, but what little chance I've had to play with it, it's got some interesting possibilities for teachers and students. So to begin with, it's just a simple download. Now, this is beta, so you know, out on the cutting edge again.
That's
here.
That's right.
So, but it basically on a Windows computer, your Windows flag and the print screen button, that takes you into this application. So let me just come up here and it opens it up into what's called Snip. And there's a little icon up here at the top, mm-hmm. little pull down.
Oh, yeah.
So if I want to capture something, I've got annotation, and it actually, if you have a webcam, I have a webcam on my monitor here, you can actually like take a photo or hold up a piece of paper or a map or something and take a picture of that.
Cool.
But I'm just going to come here and let me just jump over to my ITC page. And let's say that I want to talk about Tech Talk for Teachers. So I'm just going to snip that right there, mm-hmm. brings it up. What caught my attention about this one, you know, we've had the snipping tool for years in Windows, but what caught my attention on this one, there's a new voice recording.
Oh.
So I can come up here. This could be a web page on anatomy. You know, you name the subject. You uh-huh. just snip a picture, and I'm going to click record. So I'm recording right now. I'm going to grab my pen, and this one happens to be our Tech Talk for Teachers podcast. So I can come out here, underline, highlight, whatever, and then just hit stop. And I just took a snip, but it's basically a screen recording snip with voiceover.
Nice.
So let me play this back.
So I'm recording right now. I'm going to grab my pen, and this one happens to be our Tech Talk for Teachers podcast. So I can come out here, underline, highlight, whatever, and then just hit stop.
Okay, and that's it. So I know that we're doing an audio podcast, but...
So then what do you do with it?
Well, you can copy, share, save, send it to your library, email it, put it on Twitter.
What do you save it as? What does it save as?
It saves as an MP4 file. Yep. So once it's there. Now, because once again, we're in this cloud world, you could immediately, if I hit share, the only option here is Facebook.
Yeah.
But I could email it. If I throw it in my library somewhere, I saw that I could post a tweet or here's a link and then here's an embed code. So evidently to use this, and you need to think this through, you know, for privacy concerns and things, if we upload it to the cloud, it's kind of like that docs.com. It's public, you know, out there. But if I wanted, you know, a student, and this is great for our faculty here for online learning, it's like, hey, I don't understand something. The advantage to this is it just gives me that voice, you know, which is different than a picture with highlights and annotations right. and things. But we've been using that Office Mix program within PowerPoint to do something similar. And this has some relationship to Office Mix, but it's a beta product. So I'm interested to see where this goes. But the voiceover annotation caught my attention because that's what's different about it.
Very cool.
And then, of course, that little copy. I've already tried it out. You just hit copy. Copy that little snippet. And if I go back to, remember last spring, I started that spring 2015 OneNote notebook
yes.
online. I can go out there to that. Still that one link that's still active. And I just have to remember where I pasted it. But I pasted it into that notebook. So let's go to my demos projects. And
could you paste it into a PowerPoint?
Yep. So right here it is. It just does a little screenshot of what it is now. This is one that I did earlier. There we go. Get to the right page. So right here's the Office Mix.
Yeah.
It provides me a link. This is in OneNote. So once again, I have that master OneNote for my class out there. I've just added an extra resource out there. Students don't need to have a different link or email this link. They just go to the notebook to the appropriate section and click. And...
this is a test of the new snip, so we can come in here, we can annotate some things.
And I'll just stop that. But literally, it's right there.
Very cool.
Three clicks, and you've got an explanation out there with voiceover annotation, inking, and ready to go.
Very cool.
So that's my tech pick.
Like it.
All right, what do you have?
All right, well, because I work with the Library of Congress Teaching with Primary Sources program, you know, I always am aware of what's going on there. And September 5th is the National Book Festival.
Hmm.
And it's an annual event.
It used to be in the summer, didn't it?
It was. It was earlier in the fall.
Yeah, it seemed a little earlier.
I believe. And it was multiple days out on the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they've moved it indoors, and it's only on a Saturday, which I guess is cool. So teachers in that area can come. But, you know, if you're in Illinois, it's kind of hard to get there for a Saturday. So what they have done, they just released an app.
Okay.
And, you know, I have a son who works in music and social media, and so we've been to some music festivals, and all of those have apps mm-hmm. for every event going on. We've talked about conferences we've gone mm-hmm. to before that have apps. And so they just did a National Book Festival app, which, of course, made me look at it then and get more sad because I'm not going to be there. But it was pretty cool because you could, like, you know, search by authors by name and then schedule who you want to mm-hmm. see in that. But, you know, it's just another way that it puts it into your hand. They're saving. They don't have to print the big programs mm-hmm. anymore. So it's definitely a environmental, you know, upgrade. Mm-hmm. But, like, one of the authors is Buzz Aldrin.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that would be so cool. Mm-hmm. And I can pull him up. It gives me his bio. It mm-hmm. tells me when he's going to be doing a book signing, when mm-hmm. he's going to be doing a presentation, all kind, you know, just mm-hmm. all that information right at your fingertips.
Yeah.
You can, you know, establish your own schedule, which, as I said, we went to Outside Lands Music Festival in San Francisco earlier this month. And same thing. I mean, you could create your schedule. Mm-hmm. You could drop in as to where you were going to be and what was going on. They would send you push notifications if someone canceled, if something was mm-hmm. changed.
So to, like, put reminders on your calendar, too, if right. you did your schedule. Yeah.
And so it's neat to see how sometimes the schools aren't driving, but what's going on, you know.
Well, it's a resource. And, the advantage, the collaboration, the outreach right. for all this online collaboration. And I think last year, I think it was the National Book Festival, they actually had some Skype sessions with authors. So if you arranged in advance, you could go in and send questions in and things, too.
And they record most of them. So you can always watch them later if you want to and things like that. But it's just neat to see how these things are evolving and how – as this generation of digital natives that have been using computers their whole life, now as they're growing up and taking the lead in different industries and companies, that we're seeing more of that with what's going on and how it's just becoming a part of it.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. I always challenge that term digital natives, though, because I don't think it's necessarily true. It's just one of those labels that gets plastered. And I don't know if you saw recently over the summer, there was hope for some of us older folks because there was a research study that said older teachers actually perform better with newer technologies because we have the background and the pedagogy to actually apply some of the new technologies and things. So I'll see if I can hunt that link down and throw it in the show notes, too.
And the other thing is just access to the technology. If you're in a job where you're not using a computer, mm-hmm. then you do have a different level of expertise and comfort than those of us who are using our computer all day long and all evening.
Can we take a side trip?
Yes.
That's another reason that I started that Maker project. And I knew there were a lot of things that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why I chose this project. But you don't know what you don't know until you know. Does that make any sense?
And, oh, my gosh. I do a whole thing on how fluency.
There you go. Tie it back to media literacy.
Just literacy. Mm-hmm. Literacy as a whole and levels of consciousness.
Yeah, that's true because that's a completely different, you know, I started off this show. Mm-hmm. CNC just rolls off the tongue. I've been knee deep into this and mm-hmm. it's like I'm learning all these terms. But our students, you know, this might be the first time that they're experiencing that vocabulary.
Right.
OneNote. Another good reason.
See, okay, so we're doing both of our paths. You and your OneNote and me and my literacy. It's like they're both coming through here today.
But, you know, repetition is the mother of all learning. Yes. You have to hit those topics and vocabulary in particular multiple times in multiple different ways. I mean, that's just good teaching. But it's also it was also very good for me to experience the uncomfortableness and the awkwardness. And I don't know, I guess looking back on some things like this one sway that I'm going to share with you in the links in the show notes, it was about putting together, building my X-Carve. Mm-hmm. I could build a second X-Carve a whole lot easier right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was so much I didn't know. And I'm embarrassed to go back and look at some of my first projects that I shared out. I shared like a picture or something out on Twitter. I just did not have the skills. I didn't have the knowledge. I didn't have the ability, and I still don't. I mean, I'm still learning and practicing. You know, I got a long way to go.
Yeah.
But we don't get there unless we engage, and we mean the learner.
Right.
we can't do that. You know, somebody else can't do that for me. A teacher can't do that for me. I've got to internalize it myself.
And it is fun to learn new things, and it does energize you a little bit. But it's like when I did a wainscoting project at my home, I look where I started and then where I finished, and just my experience with the miter saw and then the Craig jig that you introduced me to, which I now follow a bunch of things online to get project
Pinterest.
Ideas and all that good stuff. But yeah, but then I find if I haven't used the miter saw in a couple of months, I get it out, I have to kind of relearn it.
All right.
So it's that exposure that makes a big difference as well.
And that just brought up another side trip, sidebar here, but I think these are very important conversations for us to have as teachers. That repetition and things, and again, sometimes I feel like a broken record on one note, but I run into so many people that, you know, don't even know what it is. But the other advantage, and I've done this with, you know, paper journals and things over the years as well, so it doesn't necessarily have to be OneNote. But having a reference to go back the previous year in a class to see what you did to improve a lesson, oh, this worked, this, do you do that?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, I used to teach science, so I do science labs and things, and it's like, oh, this worked, or, you know, this didn't, or I need to make sure I order extra supplies for this because whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
John Wooden, you know, the coach, he always did that whenever he was coaching. For UCLA, and he would just detail notes. It's like, I need to move the basketball rack, you know, 3 feet this way because it's more efficient. My players can get two extra shots, you know, during practice or something.
Yeah.
So it's paying attention to that detail. But in the teaching field, it's difficult for us to do because we do that lesson, you know, the second week in fall.
Right.
Then we don't do it again till the next year, the second week in fall. So there's not quite that continuity. But I always try to improve, you know, going back and looking at previous assignments and mixing it up, trying new things.
And the older I get, the more I realize I don't remember things.
Yeah,
so now I write down all the time.
So another use for that technology
that's
out
right.
there. All right, well, we kind of went off on a sidebar there, but a couple of good technology picks this week. So we'll leave it there.
Very good.
That wraps it up for episode 180 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. If you have a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment in the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom.
And Cindy Rich.
Keep on learning.